Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by Career Management Associates. I'm David Chulo. It's about all things in the human resource world. We're going to bring in local, regional, and national guests, and we're going to talk about a variety of topics and explain why human resource management is critical to your business success so that you can make decisions to keep and retain great talent. And you're listening to the HR Power Hour, presented by CMAcareer.com and Daryl-Law.com. I'm your host, David Chulo. And today, our guest is Heather Weibel. She's a speaker, entrepreneur, CEO. And we're going to be talking about wellness space today. Heather, welcome to the show.
Hi, David. Thank you for having me.
Glad to have you. You know, people may not know who you are. How about a little bit of a update of tell me about your history, tell me about where you come from, tell me about why you got into wellness?
Yeah, absolutely. So as you mentioned, my name is Heather Weibel, and I own a company called Wellness, and we provide workplace wellness services. My background is prior to owning Wellness. I spent about 6 years at PayPal, and I was in the operations team there. So I managed business and product operations. And prior to that, I was an entrepreneur with my first company, which was actually a cigar bar in Austin, Texas. So the total opposite of health and wellness, I sold tobacco and alcohol.
Wow, that's definitely, you've gone from one extreme to the other.
Yes, I've had quite a varied career.
Well, that's all right. So what got you into that switch, as we would say?
Yeah, so I was really actually inspired by my time at PayPal. I happened to be based in Berlin, Germany, and the teams that I was managing were based in all around Europe, South America, Asia Pacific. So as a result, I would end up traveling all the time, and I got to see just a bunch of the different offices and how they were run. And one thing that I started noticing was that the offices were really, really different in terms of how they provided wellness opportunities for the employees. So for example, you know, the office in New York is this amazing utopia, and they cater in paleo pancakes, and they have chair massages and yoga classes, and it's just lovely. But then some of the other offices, you know, they wouldn't have any of those things, and the break room wouldn't have any healthy food. And I thought, well, this is really weird. We all work at the same company. Why do we have different levels of access to wellness? So I started investigating, asking around, ended up getting all the way up to the chief people officer. And at that point, I learned that these decisions were left up to local office management. And so centrally, nobody really knew exactly what was being offered to the employees. There wasn't like a cohesive plan. There was no idea of participation or if it had any positive outcomes. No real idea even what the total budget was being spent on all of these things. And I thought, well, that's, you know, pretty crazy for a company to not have this central way to manage their wellness programming. And so I was inspired, and I started Wellness and left PayPal to work on Wellness full time. And PayPal is now one of our customers.
Well, you couldn't have asked for a better slide into, right? With a need comes innovation. And that's, you know, that's great. It's just entrepreneurial spirit. Fantastic. Now, I saw in your bio, you have traveled 6 continents, 39 countries, and 29 US states.
Yes.
I'm assuming that was prior to about 2 years ago, right? At this point, year and a half, right?
Yeah, not a lot of travel recently, unfortunately. Looking forward to returning to traveling. But yeah, I'm an avid traveler. I, you know, would love to go everywhere. So yeah, I've traveled a lot through Europe, a little bit through Asia, and I've only been to South America once. So that's an area really left to explore for me.
Now that's awesome. And you speak German?
I majored in German in college and lived in Germany for a while. And I speak some pretty poor French as well.
Well, you know, that's okay. We forgive you for that. So no, it's awesome. Well, you know, let's be honest. The wellness industry has changed dramatically over the last 5 to 10 years. What we even called wellness 5 to 10 years ago versus what today
we call wellness is a little bit different. And I think one of the things that might help is at least start talking about what you would define wellness today as and how you see organizations, companies of all sizes, small, medium, large, what they're talking about wellness meaning to them today.
Yeah, you're right. It has changed so much. When I started my company, well, also called Wellness, I started it 6 years ago. And back then, there were people who were really skeptical about why would companies want to provide this for their employees? They have no reason to want to do this. And there were a lot of people that thought this was kind of a crazy idea. And, you know, fast forward to today, nobody thinks this is a crazy idea. It's widely adopted. Around 80% of companies in the United States offer some sort of wellness program to their employees. So it's very quickly become the standard. So there's been a lot of change and evolution over that pretty short time period. So in the beginning, it was a lot around health intervention. So biometric testings and trying to improve health outcomes and reduce health insurance costs, you know, and then there was a moment where a lot of that was really debunked that it doesn't actually drive down costs. Then it became a lot about experiences. So, you know, recruiting and retention tactics. So providing chair massages and things that make employees excited to come into the office. And today, what's really interesting is the evolution that we see now is companies are really tackling big issues that their employees care about and are impacting them. Things like mental health, suicide awareness and prevention, domestic violence, financial education. So over the years, this has really evolved into becoming this all-encompassing term, wellness, that could mean a lot of things. And so sometimes, you know, we don't really know what wellness means because it could mean flu shots, or it could mean a chair massage, or it could mean we're bringing in nutritionists. It could mean a million things. So it's different for every company, how they approach their wellness program and what their goals are around it.
Is there any data that supports or shows what type of health improvements these type of programs make for employees? Is there any actual solid data that you've seen or references that, you know, organizations can look at to go out and see that the cost equals the benefit? And I don't think there's a question that does. I'm just asking, where are the facts? Where's the data?
Well, you are entering a very hotly debated topic here in the wellness industry. There are people who will tell you that there are healthcare savings and you save $2 for every dollar invested. And then there are studies that have shown that there are no savings because, first of all, you get opt-in bias. So if you're offering fitness classes, you're most likely going to get employees who are already health conscious who go to those classes. If you do things like mandatory screenings, you know, people may go to the screening because you're forcing them to, but aren't going to follow up on what they should do after that screening. So it's very hotly debated. What I find interesting is that most of the companies we work with, we ask them what their goals are and why they're offering these programs. And I can't recall a single one of them saying that we're doing this to reduce healthcare costs. They all say that they're doing it because they genuinely want their employees to be happier and healthier. And that's their main motivation. So I think a part of that shift we've talked about over the last 5 years of wellness is it's really shifted from what we call an ROI, a return on investment, to a VOI, value on investment. What value is this bringing to my organization? Is it helping with productivity, retention, recruiting? Are we addressing serious issues within our organization like burnout, stress, mental health, and so on and so forth?
Healthcare is one of the largest costs for employers in general. Just the, you know, the cost of providing healthcare for employees. Certainly, Anthem and some of the other major carriers talk about wellness, and they talk about, you know, programs that they interact with. Do they support or do they provide, to your knowledge, discounts for employers that really have a plan that puts something together? And how do they monetize it? Because obviously, companies are looking at the bottom line, especially today after what has just happened with the pandemic. We're looking at every dollar counts, right? And so, you know, what are some of the benefits, the ROIs to employers? Certainly know what it is to the employee, but for employers to move forward with.
Yeah. So payers, healthcare companies, they do have certain wellness programs. So one thing that they do is they offer what's kind of called wellness dollars to their clients. And this is budgets that employers can use to bring in wellness services that's ultimately paid for by the payer. So they do support it in that way. They also, the Affordable Care Act made it possible to not penalize people for not participating in wellness programs, but to incentivize people by paying them bonuses or, you know, prizes and things like that. So that also happens as well, an incentivization for participation. So for employers, you know, it really is dependent on the organization. If, for example, you are a company that has a lot of factory workers or truck driving populations, you may care about totally different things. You might care about on-site injuries. You might care about ergonomics. You know, people are sitting in a truck all day. How do we get them stretching and moving so they don't get injured? Whereas a tech company might care about something completely different. They may care from a recruiting perspective. You know, I'm competing against Google and Facebook and Twitter for engineering talent, and they have all of this stuff, and I need to have all of this stuff as well. So it's really personalized, I think, to the company, what their goals are and what they're seeing inside of their employee populations.
You know, you talk about on your website, and I looked up, you have obviously, you speak on about startups, workplace wellness, and bootstrapping. Explain bootstrapping a little bit. I'm just curious a little bit about that term and what exactly that means.
Yeah, so bootstrapping basically means that you are not going out raising a bunch of venture capital money to fund your business, but you're self-funding it or funding it with maybe some limited investments. And you're really using sound business models to make a business that is profitable and ultimately covers its own costs, because you don't have these giant coffers of venture capital money to just burn through. So that's the tactic that we've taken here at Wellness. We have not raised a big venture round. We've primarily bootstrapped the company, and I approach it like I think businesses should be approached, which is that they should ultimately make money and be profitable and not constantly run in the red.
Which I think every CEO and CFO would 100% agree with you, or owner or business owner in that particular area. We're talking with Heather Weibel. She is the CEO of Wellness. She's also a speaker and entrepreneur. You know, Heather, this is such a large topic. And certainly in the second segment, we're going to be talking about, you know, at work and what's going on virtually and all that from a return to work standpoint, and also how we approach companies differently. But as you think about all our organizations, which are about 80% of the workplace, right? I mean, if you look at small companies across the country, I think the latest number is somewhere around 80% of companies in general. They're the ones that obviously, you know, I would say are the heart and soul of the country. And they're the ones that are typically dealing with this small issue, right? They only have maybe 50 employees, 25 employees, 100 employees. And they say, we'd love to do something. And you talk about bootstrapping, right? What is it that we can do? And I know we're going to get into a little bit more in the second segment, but it kind of talk about maybe some of the simple things they can think about. And then we'll get more into the detail.
Yes, certainly. Small companies can absolutely have very comprehensive wellness programs. It does not have to be expensive to offer something. So I'm aware of companies who actually use their own employees to create their wellness program. So they may have within their employees a yoga teacher who teaches yoga on the side, or somebody who's really into meditation. So they end up having like employee-led classes. So that's one way that's very simple to stand up a wellness program that doesn't cost anything at all. Other companies do more like clubs, where they'll have like a running club or the volleyball club, where they go outside of work together as a group. But, you know, if you're looking at a more traditional vendor and how can you offer a program for a smaller company, things like bringing on-site fitness classes, speakers, I mean, these things cost $150 at a time, $500 at a time. It's very affordable. Another way to go is digital. So video on demand options. We have an option like this called Wellness TV. It's like Netflix for health and wellness videos. You know, and it can be as little as $100 a month to give access to all of your employees and their families. And that allows them to access that content whenever is convenient for them on demand, whenever they want to engage with it. So there are a lot of things that you can do as a smaller company that still allows you to have some of those big company benefits.
We're talking with Heather Weibel. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on Newstalk WLOB, and we will be right back.
In today's highly regulated climate, customized HR solutions are needed more than ever. Career Management Associates can partner with your existing HR department for projects or even serve as your outsourced HR team. From compliance and compensation to investigations and employer relations, CMA provides you trusted HR solutions. Call 207-780-1125 or visit cmacareer.com.
Let me ask you a question. How do you feel about genetically modified ingredients?
Don't like them.
Artificial flavors and colors?
No thanks.
Clean ingredients.
Now that I like.
When you care about what's in things and what's not, shouldn't your vitamins be clean too? Sundown Vitamins are all clean all the time. Non-GMO, free of gluten and dairy, with colors and flavors from real food. We even have USDA certified Sundown Organics and kids vitamins too. When you're living clean, choose clean with Sundown Vitamins at supermarkets, drugstores, or on Amazon.
At over 150 years old, Verrill has an illustrious history with more than seven generations of legal expertise. With more than 130 attorneys across seven offices from Maine to Washington, D.C., Verrill serves clients across the country and around the world. HR professionals, business leaders, and in-house counsel count on Verrill as one of the premier labor and employment law practices in the Northeast. Contact Verrill at verrill-law.com. That's verrill-law.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour, presented by cmacareer.com and verrill-law.com. I'm your host, David Shulo. You're listening to HR Educational Radio. Today, our guest is Heather Weibel, and she is the CEO of the company called Wellness. She's also a speaker, an entrepreneur, and she has been to what? How many countries now? I'm trying to remember, 6 countries, 36 countries. I'm trying to remember how many we just said a minutes ago.
Six continents. I think it's 36 countries.
Six continents. Boy, I was way off on that, but that's okay. I only said it last segment. I didn't say it this segment. It's all good.
I haven't gotten to Antarctica yet, but one day.
No. Is that on your list?
I think I have to check it off the list eventually. Yeah.
How about you fly in and fly out? I'm not sure there's much else there, but it's okay. Sure, call. You go. You go and have a good time. It's all good. I think what I'd like to do now is kind of get into a little bit of the detail, right? Go into what people are dealing with wellness today. And of course, everything right now is about return to work. So as people have been home for quite a while, and now they've probably had their Peloton and their mirror and a couple other things they've had shipped in for, you know, wellness at home, and they're going back to the office, or maybe they're not. Maybe they're doing a hybrid between the office and home, or maybe they're even staying home if they're going to be fully remote. Talk to us a little bit about where you're seeing the return to work when it comes to wellness, especially on some mental health.
So just a few months ago, the conversation around return to work was very different. The types of services that companies were looking at just a few months ago were things like temperature taking, COVID testing, antibody testing. Now, because of vaccines, we're having different conversations. COVID vaccines is now on the table for an at-work service. But what's actually coming to the forefront is that employees are not all that happy about having to go back to work now that they've gotten used to working from home. And so companies are now trying to figure out, well, how do we make everyone feel happier about having to come back to the office? And so we're seeing a lot of team building events and fun, more fun type of things, having big wellness weeks, bringing in chair massages, just whatever companies can do that employees can't do or get at home that is going to make them feel like coming back to the office is, you know, kind of nice again. So we're seeing a lot of that, everything from doing team trivia events to doing watercolor meditation classes and so on and so forth. So I think that's the big challenge for employers right now is not only, you know, how do we get over the speed bump of, okay, you all have to come back now and make everyone feel okay about that. But then, as you mentioned, other companies are now approaching this in a hybrid model. So how do you then address your employees when some are in the office, some aren't, sometimes they are, sometimes they're not? What are wellness programs that can address these various types of employees and their various work situations? And so luckily, we've all had a lot of practice during COVID in going totally remote with everything. So a lot of that is, you know, how do we do this virtually? Or how do we provide digital tools to employees so it doesn't matter where they are, they can still access these things?
So companies are obviously looking at a lot of these, we'll call it fun things, right, to go back. But there is a lot of stress and anxiety. There are a lot of issues that employees are having with legitimate fear, legitimate dealing with the fact that, hey, you know, camps aren't necessarily fully open for the summer yet. Sure, it does look like we're going to have most schools opening in the fall, right? September. It does look like that's, you know, the CDC has thrown out the guidelines that they're all going to open up. So the reality is that where do you think this leaves employees who are really dealing with the challenges?
Yes, that is a huge topic right now. I think every single day I see a new news article about XYZ company surveyed their employees and 80% of them are incredibly stressed and burnt out. And we are seeing that within our clients where they're finding the same thing through internal surveys. Salesforce recently surveyed their employees, and I think it was like 33% of their employees reported that they had experienced a mental health event recently. So, you know, mental health, stress, and anxiety have really become huge topics because we all went through something really traumatic over the last year, and it affected people in a myriad ways. So, anecdotally on our end, we launched our digital platform Wellness TV in the middle of the pandemic as a way to provide virtual wellness programming. And our category around stress and anxiety has been consistently our number one most engaged with category. So employees are really seeking out ways that they can deal and cope with this. So I definitely think it's going to continue to be a big topic. And employers are trying to figure out, well, how do we address these things? Do we bring in mental health counselors? Do we bring in yoga, meditation, chair massage? There's a lot of ways you can attack stress and anxiety. So it's just a matter of figuring out what your game plan is and what sorts of resources you're going to be offering to employees.
Are there processes that are more validated than others? I mean, is there programs that bring in, I'll say, licensed professionals or others that can handle these type of, I mean, there's EAP programs certainly that are out there to help. But talk to us a little bit about how companies can make that decision on who or what is the best option for them and how they do it in a quote unquote legal way without asking necessarily some of those questions.
So I always tell our clients that you should look at your program holistically. Choosing just one thing and bringing that in is only going to serve a certain type of employee. So some employees might be thrilled to actually have, you know, a therapy as a benefit, but other employees are not going to do that. Some employees may be happy to have meditation and yoga classes, but other employees aren't. So it's really about having multiple touch points and opportunities for your employees to engage with what resonates with them. Similarly, offering things omni-channel. Not everything should be in the office. Not everything should be digital. It should be a combination of things so that you're casting that net as wide as you can to catch as many employees as you can. In terms of, you know, clinically validated options, we certainly offer licensed mental health counselors, people who are trained to come in and train even your management level about how to create a mental health aware environment, even as far as how to look for and identify employees who might need an intervention, a mental health intervention, or a suicide intervention. So there are certainly like licensed mental health options that you can bring into your workplace. But at the same time, things like more what we call more lifestyle wellness, the yoga, chair massage, meditations are also effective. So like I said, I think it's all about having a variety of options so that employees can have the resource that works for them.
And again, we're talking with Heather Weibel. She is the CEO of a company called Wellness. She's a speaker and entrepreneur. You're listening to the HR Power Hour, educational HR radio. And I'm your host, David Chulo. I appreciate, by the way, Heather, you being on and talking about this important topic. And I'm going to stay a little bit back on the mental health issue, because we are seeing that it is affecting more than just employees, but it's also affecting leadership and the stress that they're under. Not that it's any different, because it shouldn't be, but are you seeing leaders, senior leadership, ownership, coping with these type of issues, and what type of plans can be in place to deal with, you know, ones that are making those tough decisions?
I think it can be very stressful to be a manager at a company and then have to deal with some of these very heavy issues and not necessarily be trained in how do you deal with these issues. And so, you know, it's a very difficult position to be in, but it is something that is important to have an awareness of how to handle. So a lot of it is around bringing in facilitators that can support your managers as they address their team. We, during Black Lives Matter, we had a lot of companies that wanted to address the topic with their employees, but were really concerned about doing that in the right way. So one of the things that we did for those clients of ours is we actually have a facilitator who could come in and have a facilitated talk on racism and racism in the workplace and what can you do. And, you know, we were nervous even about having these talks, like, well, this could really, you know, not go well. It could be really a heated conversation. And, you know, they went incredibly well. Employees were very honest. They were very open. It provided this opportunity for them to speak to each other and have those conversations, but with a professional facilitator who was there to keep things from getting too heated, to provide perspective, and to support that team's manager so that that manager wasn't, you know, trying to have these conversations on their own without any training about how to do so.
You know, the last thing I'll mention on this area is really a conversation of what companies can do to approach wellness differently. And different companies need different things. So, for example, and you brought this to my attention, you know, you got big versus small, you get tech versus industrial. Well, let's just stick with tech versus industrial and big versus small. Give us, I know we talked a little bit in the last segment about some of the high level things they can do. What does a plan look like for that? Can you give an example of what you put forward to an organization that deals with the challenges for their unique industry?
Yes. You know, some companies have a pretty well-defined plan where they will already know, here are our five pillars of wellness that we're going to concentrate on this year. We're going to concentrate on mental health, diabetes, and so on and so forth. And some of that data is coming in from their health plan where they recognize that they have a large employee population that may be struggling with a particular health issue and they want to address that. Or they know that there's a gap in their wellness program that they want to close, maybe around financial wellness. So some companies, they really already have this plan. They know exactly what they're going to focus on and when. But other companies have no idea. You know, they just know I should offer something, but I don't know what to offer. And, you know, that's something that we encounter a lot where companies will come to us. It's Men's Health Month. I want to do something. I don't know what to do. And we can help them find the right programming. We have a concierge team that is an expert in over 300 different product lines around wellness and can really help match them to the right content and provider for them and for their employees. So, you know, we've encountered one of our clients is a large manufacturing company, and they brought to us a unique issue, which is that the bulk of their employee population is non-native English speakers. And so they needed to find content that we could offer in Spanish and offer this in pretty remote cities, not major metropolitan areas. And they were really struggling to find providers that could come in and you know, talk on nutrition or give an ergonomic session in these small towns and also in Spanish. That's like finding a needle in a haystack.
Yeah.
And so that was something that we were able to source, custom source for them and find these local providers to be able to do that. So every company is going to have their unique challenges, whether it's we're global, we're we need something in a different language. We have third shift employees and we can't find providers that want to come in at 3 a.m. to talk to our employees. Those things all add a layer of complexity to your wellness program, which is when it can be helpful to have a partner to help you find some of this more unique content.
Certainly virtual development and virtual training has improved over the last year and a half. And I think it's had no choice but to improve in that area. Are you still finding the most effective is in person? Or are you now convinced that either way works effectively and equally?
I think it's a really individual situation where certain individuals are going to respond better to certain things. One thing that was interesting was during the pandemic, we did, for our client PayPal, we did in-office yoga for them twice a week. We've been doing this for years. And the attendance was okay. When COVID happened, we switched this to a virtual class and the attendance went up 10x. So that was really surprising to us that the adoption just became so much huger when it was virtual. But it potentially is because employees don't have to remember to bring their yoga clothes to work. And then, you know, some people might not feel comfortable changing into yoga clothes and doing yoga in a conference room at work. But when you're doing it virtually, you can have your camera off if you want to. You don't have to have your hair done. You don't have to worry about looking silly in front of your colleagues. So we just found that in some cases, the adoption became much, much higher virtually. But there are definitely people who are feeling Zoom fatigue and really longing for human connection and would much rather go to an in-person event in their office, especially something that might be more interactive, like, you know, a painting class or aromatherapy class or something like that. So, you know, I think it's an individual question. Sometimes at some companies, one thing works better than it would work at a different company.
Yeah. You know, you mentioned, we talked about all these things that are trying to make people happier. Is there a difference between health versus happiness when it comes to wellness?
I think there's a difference in how a company prioritizes what they want to do. Certain companies do care more about addressing health outcomes, and that could be from data that they're getting back from their health claims. Maybe they are seeing a lot of workplace injuries and they want to get ahead of that with stretching or ergonomics classes. So Green Mountain Coffee, they were seeing a lot of on-site workplace injuries in their factories, and they brought in a stretching class, just a simple stretching class, and they saw a direct impact and reduction in on-site workplace injuries. So some companies are really looking at their health data to drive their decision-making. If they have a lot of, diabetes claims, employee population with high diabetes, they may be looking to do more nutrition classes, fitness classes. But as I mentioned, I do see predominantly most of our clients really are just looking for a happiness scale. And we like to measure that as, does my employer care about me? And do I feel like they want me to be happy?
No, that's a great way of segmenting into what we're going to be talking about in the next segment, which is what the challenges HR leaders face with their wellness program. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM, and we will be right back.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
Hi, I'm Susan McVetty.
And I'm Pete McVetty from McVetty's Hearth and Home.
Is there a sale going on at the store right now?
No.
No Hearthstone, Quadrifier, Mendota, Wittes, Blaze King, or Morso sale?
No.
No Yodel, Vermont Castings, or Regency? Oh, there's always a Regency sale.
No.
You're telling me that out of the gazillions of wood, gas, and pellet stoves that we carry, there's not a single sale going on?
Nope.
Oh, what about patio furniture, awnings, grills, smokers, and aluminum docks?
No, just because there isn't a big sale going on doesn't mean that we're not having great deals and still doing free estimates for anyone needing a heating appliance.
Oh, well, good. Just let me know when we're having another sale.
Okay, there's always a bargain to be had if you were looking for one. And we don't need a new heating appliance.
Well, maybe my sister needs one, or my friend, or your sister.
Stop by McVitie's Hearth and Home at 893 Route 1 in Yarmouth, or check out our website at stovesofmaine.com for the latest information, including our sales.
Really? I have to check out the website? Really? And I can't believe Regency isn't having a sale.
In today's highly regulated climate, customized HR solutions are needed more than ever. Career Management Associates can partner with your existing HR department for projects or even serve as your outsourced HR team. From compliance and compensation to investigations and employer relations, CMA provides you trusted HR solutions. Call 207-780-1125 or visit cmacareer.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com and Verrill-Law.com. I'm your host, David Chulo, and you're listening to Educational HR Radio. My guest today is Heather Weibel. She is the CEO of a company called Wellness, and of course, we're talking about wellness today, and it's such an important topic in today's economy. You know, Heather, one of the things that we mentioned in the last segment, and we're going to get more into it, is the challenges that leaders face today, especially dealing with wellness and wellness programs. Look, they still take time. It's still, you know, and I'm not sure, we don't seem to have a lot of time lately, but we seem to have time. How do they balance the way it can be done, intermitting it within the workload, especially when, you know, we're at full speed, warp speed right now?
I think this is the number one challenge around wellness programs. And that is that the HR person in charge of the wellness program is probably spread way too thin. So we brought up small companies earlier. If you're a 50-person company, there's probably one HR person and they are in charge of everything. So finding time to add onto their regular workload, a entire wellness program coordination could just be something that's just a stretch goal that's not going to get a whole lot of attention. Conversely, at a large company, you oftentimes will find dedicated head of wellness roles inside of HR. But these companies are large, so they may have 13,000 employees, they may have 50 different offices. And even if there's a dedicated person in charge, you know, trying to find providers in 50 different offices and coordinating all of that, it's an enormous workload. It's also workload that HR probably shouldn't be spending their time on, you know, coordinating with a fitness instructor, and then the fitness instructor got a flat tire on the way and now you're trying to find a substitute. Like, is this really work that the HR person should be burning hours on? So, you know, finding the time to really coordinate all of these logistics, the sourcing of the providers, you know, then you get 100 different invoices, you have 100 different customer service points of contacts across all your offices. It can quickly become a nightmare. And so this is part of the value prop of my company, Wellness, is our concierge team. So our concierge team will actually take all of that off of the HR person's hands. They handle all of that coordination. If the massage therapist broke their hand the night before, our concierge will find a substitute so that you don't have to worry about that. And so I think that's one of the really overlooked things is, you know, asking an HR person not only to spend all this time coordinating, but then also have to be an expert in mental health and aromatherapy and flu shots and on and on and on. It's very hard for them to actually be an expert in all of these potential areas of wellness. This is where partnership can be a real boon to have experts, people who already do this day in and day out to help support you.
You see a lot right now, or even, you know, this summer in regards to vaccination information. and information on, you know, those type of questions?
On vaccinations, yes. So that's only recently started coming up a lot is, you know, is it possible to do in-office, specifically COVID vaccinations? Prior to COVID, there was a lot of vaccinations that could happen in the office as well. So, you know, flu shots, obviously, something that happens annually for a lot of companies. But, you know, things like shingles vaccines, pneumonia vaccines, those are all things that we've done as well. So vaccinations are often a part of a company's wellness program. Obviously, now it's something that's a little more on the forefront of everybody's mind, and certainly recently has been something that employers are thinking of actually offering inside of their office.
As we're talking about companies doing this, do you have a success story that you could share with the audience of how your organization came to really help an organization improve not only the employee wellness, but the overall organizational strength?
Yeah, I think, you know, we talked about the facilitated conversation on race. I think that's one of the events that I'm most proud of that we've done. It was something that I just felt was so useful to the companies that we brought that to and made something that was a stressful event for them go a lot easier with a lot less stress. But, you know, another client of ours, we work with a large veterinarian laboratory company, and they have a dedicated head of wellness, but they had some unique challenges. They have call center employees, and call centers are very challenging environments to bring wellness to. You can't just take people off the phones to go to a speaker for an hour. So people in call centers have maybe 5 minutes in their day that they can be off the phone, and you have to try to cram some sort of wellness event into that. And so we worked with them on a call center wellness program, which was small micro wellness activities that could be done in between calls or during documentation time. And then also training for their management to help them to facilitate that environment that was more well for the call center employees. And so that was really interesting because it's such a difficult place to try to bring wellness to. It's a difficult job environment, and it requires a very unique solution.
We're talking with Heather Weibels. She's the CEO of Wellness and a speaker and entrepreneur. You must be hopefully getting back to a whole bunch of speaking this fall.
I hope. You know, I used to go to so many events. I'm based in the New York City area, so you could go to 10 events a night if you wanted to. A lot of networking, a lot of speaking events. And, you know, having the last year off, it's been a nice break, to be honest. But I am looking forward to being a normal human again and going out there and meeting new people and just getting that energy from networking and going out and talking to people.
Sure. I always ask this question when I talk to people when it comes to wellness or anything else. How do you keep well? What are some of the tips that you could provide to other entrepreneurs for an owner that has plenty of stuff going on?
Yeah, as an entrepreneur, it is very difficult to have a work-life balance and to maintain your stress levels and to try to fit in healthy activities into your day. It's one of the ironies of being a startup founder in the wellness space. But I'm a big yoga person. I've been doing yoga since I was 19 years old. And if I skip yoga, I always feel way worse. My body feels horrible. I feel so much more stressed. So it's really important to me to maintain that practice for my own sanity and well-being. But I also utilize our online platform, Wellness TV. I do virtual videos there, especially during COVID when my gym was closed. So being able to take fitness classes in my living room was definitely useful. And then I'm fortunate in that I live in a community where we actually have a full gym and a full fitness program. So we have classes going on multiple times a day. I live like a 2-minute walk away from the gym, so I can just pop out and go to a class.
No, that's great. And of course, you said you enjoy yogurt, right? And I'm, of course, a big fan of frozen yogurt, but that's about as close as I get to that. I don't know if it's quite the same, but in my book, it is, right? So I figure I have that 2 or 3 times a week. I've done my exercise. I think that's fair, right?
Well, you know, we have goat yoga now, so maybe next will be frozen yogurt yoga.
You never know. You never know. I highly recommend it, just so you know. Anyways, well, we're talking with Heather Weibel, of course, her company is Wellness, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour. We're going to be right back with the last segment. Don't miss it. 100.5 FM.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
Man, do I love card night. You ready, boys? You got a king?
Go fish that!
Oh, come on! This is WWE superstar Titus O'Neil. The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Rhett Rasmussen of besthotgrill.com. Gift giving occurs year-round, whether for birthdays, holidays, or a special expression of thanks to your best clients and customers. Of course, you want to show your love and gratitude, but you also want to give a gift that provides a positive image of you and your organization. Solaire infrared grills from besthotgrill.com are both practical and unforgettable. Made in the USA, Solaire has a grill for most budgets, but more importantly, Solaire delivers the wow that everybody likes to receive in a gift. The Solaire infrared grills are the gift of value that will build relationships. Step up your gift giving. Learn more about the amazing Solaire infrared grills at besthotgrill.com. That's besthotgrill.com.
In today's highly regulated climate, customized HR solutions are needed more than ever. Career Management Associates can partner with your existing HR department for projects or even serve as your outsourced HR team. From compliance and compensation to investigations and employer relations, CMA provides you trusted HR solutions. Call 207-780-1125 or visit cmacareer.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by cmacareer.com and verrill-law.com. And today, of course, we're doing educational HR radio on wellness. And remember, you can listen to the HR Power Hour at hrpowerhour.com, as well as you can go to any major podcast network, Spotify, iTunes, Pandora, all of the above. Go and listen to your favorite and listen to us. Go to hrpowerhour.com. All right. So, you know, Heather, we're wrapping it up. Here's the big question for you. If somebody's serious and they go, you know, I've been inspired today. Heather's a great speaker. I can understand why she goes out and chats about this stuff. I'd like to know more. What are the top three things an organization needs to think about and get serious about if they want to really put an impactful wellness program in place?
The first thing, absolutely, is to survey your employees and find out what their needs are, what they want, what their interest is. I can't tell you how many times we will have a client come to us and they just sort of randomly pick things that they think the employees will be interested in, but they don't actually have any data that tells them whether that's true or not. And so a lot of times it can be biased towards the decision maker's idea of what they think would be fun. So it's just really important to actually talk to your employees first, see what their needs are and how they would like to engage with a program like this. The second thing is to offer your program omni-channel. So don't just do in the office or virtual or digital on demand. Offer all of them, look at then where your participation rates are and then make adjustments from there. But if you just choose one, you're not likely to have the best participation because you're only going to catch a certain segment of your employees. And the final one is to survey your employees regularly after these types of events and programs that you bring in so that you can see whether they have resonated, whether they're successful, what you might want to double down on, what you might want to get rid of. A lot of companies make the mistake of doing a set it and forget it type of program. They just pick the 10 things we're going to do. We're going to do it twice a week for all of eternity. And they don't take the time to really think and talk to their employees about whether this is still working for them. It may be a great success in the beginning, but maybe after a year of this, employees are ready to try something new. So continuing to have that touch point with your employees on a regular basis to continue to measure and adjust your program is really important.
Heather, if somebody wants to reach you or reach a member of your team and talk to you specifically about not only what you can offer, but maybe to get some tips or ideas on how to make their program better, how do they reach you?
You can go to our website. So our company is called Wellness, but it is spelled a little bit funny. So it is www.wellnancys.com. And there you can learn more about our different programs, our online marketplace, where we have over 6,000 vendors and services that you can choose from, to our digital on-demand video platform. And you can reach out and talk to a member of our team.
And of course, if you want to have Heather speak to your group, you can go to her site at heatherweibel.com. Correct. And you can speak and talk to them and get back out on the road, as they say, right? To go out there and talk to the group. Of course, you can go to hrpowerhour.com right after this program. You'll get the links directly to Heather and to her organization. Heather, it has been a pleasure having you on today.
Thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed it.
You're listening to the HR Power Hour. And of course, this is on WLOB 100.5 FM. Be right back with the HR Tip of the Week.
And now, your HR Tip of the Week. Your HR Tip of the Week is being sponsored by Verrill.
Hi, this is Tani Alvarez from Verrill. Does your organization use employment applications? If so, when was the last time that you reviewed the document to make sure that it is in compliance with state law in the states you operate in? More and more states are limiting a company's ability to request information about past convictions on an application, and many states limit the ability to ask employees information about current or past salary. Plan to review your company's application materials on a yearly basis in order to make sure that you are complying with the most up-to-date best practices while also staying in compliance with the law. Best practices include making sure the application has a submission date so you can look back to see when it was received. Additionally, make sure that there is language on the application that sets forth what will happen if it's determined that information on the application is inaccurate. For more information regarding best practices related to employment applications, contact a member of Verrill's Employment and Labor Practice Group.
And that's your HR Tip of the Week, sponsored by Verrill. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and catch us every week at 10 a.m. on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM or 1310 a.m. and streaming live at WLOBradio.com. Podcasts of this show and every show are available at hrpowerhour.com. Have a great week, everyone, and remember, HR management is critical to your business's success.